Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, who comes to mind when you think of people of great faith found in Scripture? What do you think of? Maybe you think of Abraham, the father of faith. That even though he was old and his wife was barren, God told him to count the stars, and so great his offspring would be. And Abraham believed. Maybe you think of King David, the great champion of faith, and how he praised God, that God took David from being a lowly, humble shepherd and made him the greatest king of Israel, and that one of his descendants would rule on his throne forever. Maybe you think of Peter and Paul, and even though they were hated and despised for their message, they were great defenders of the faith and spread that message to others. But who here honestly thought of Mary as a great example of faith? I don't know what your experience is like, but this has been mine. That when talking to other Lutherans and Protestants, we can be hesitant to talk about Mary. Sometimes it can be like she's just the Virgin Mother of our Lord, that's it, nothing else. But that shouldn't be the case. Scripture is not hesitant to talk about Mary and her faith, for she is a great example of faith. And as we look at her in this account, let us follow the example of Mary's faith. This is how it started. God sent Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus." Put yourself in Mary's shoes. Mary is just a young woman. She is a virgin pledged to be married to her future husband, Joseph. She has all these plans for her wedding, and I'm sure she has plans of what her life is going to be like. Then the angel Gabriel appears to her, tells her that she will become pregnant and her life would drastically change. Now, when you and I hear the angel's message, we rejoice. But think of how greatly this would have changed Mary's life. Mary, pledged to be married to Joseph, would now be found pregnant. The people would have hated her and despised her for this. They would have viewed her as being unfaithful to Joseph. And the law has this to say: if a man happens to meet in a town a virgin pledged to be married, and he sleeps with her, you shall take both of them to the gate of that town and stone them to death. So according to the law, Mary, a virgin pledged to be married, is now seemingly found to be unfaithful, which means she could have been killed. This is why we hear of how Joseph wanted to divorce Mary quietly so as not to bring this shame upon her. It's only when the angel comes to Joseph and explains what has happened that he takes Mary to be his wife. But how does Mary react to all of this? She doesn't complain. She doesn't become angry. She doesn't say to the angel that this is unfair. Instead, she said, "I am the Lord's servant." A great example of faith, for she carried her burden willingly, even if that meant that people would always view her as being unfaithful and they would hate and despise her. What a great example of faith for us to follow. Even though you and I are not going to go through the same thing that Mary went through, we will be hated. We will be despised. Things in our life will change that we didn't expect to happen. We hold true to what God's word says, and most of our society doesn't. So when we say that homosexuality is a sin, not the worst sin, not the unforgivable sin, but sin nonetheless, people will hate us. They will say, you are so homophobic. How dare you deny the love and the lifestyle that these people have? When we uphold the roles of men and women that God has established, people will despise us. And I know you have heard this, that people will say, oh, you belong to that church and that synod that doesn't allow women to be pastors or to vote in the congregation. That is so sexist. How dare you deny that? Or when things happen in our lives that we didn't expect to happen, do we carry that burden willingly? Or do we become angry with God? Do we complain? Do we say to God, this is not fair? And so instead of being like Mary who said, I am the Lord's servant, we may desire instead to be the servant of the world so that we will not be hated, so that we will not be despised, so that we can have everything happen in our lives as we want it to. That's not a sign of great faith and willingness. That's a great sign of sin and selfishness. To the point that Jesus could look at us and say, oh, you of little faith, are you willing to carry any burden for me? But thankfully, we are saved from these sins because Jesus was born. The very name of Jesus that Mary was to give to her son means Savior. Jesus carried his burden, which were all of our burdens, willingly. There was no need for Jesus to share in our humanity. There was no need for Jesus to be born of the Virgin Mary as a helpless little child. There was no need for Jesus to suffer greatly under Pontius Pilate. There was no need for Jesus to be crucified, died, and buried. And yet, how does Jesus react to all of this? He doesn't become angry with God. He doesn't complain. He never says this is unfair. Instead, Jesus said to the Father, I am your servant. And so he carried all of our burdens willingly in order to save us from our sins. And I can assure you that you are forgiven by God. And now he asks you to carry your burdens for him willingly. And he assures you that you are not alone in doing this. You have fellow brothers and sisters in the faith who are there to encourage you and to lift you up. And you also have God who is there with you. A God who personally carried our burdens so that he can help you carry your personal burdens willingly. Just like how Mary carried her burden willingly by depending on the Lord. But this is not the only reason why Mary is such a great example of faith. Another reason that she's a great example of faith is because she believed God's message. After the angel said all these things to Mary, Mary said, "May it be to me as you have said." Now, there's something very interesting in Mary's statement here, and the best way that I can illustrate it is for you to think of the phrase, look out. After church, let's say I walked up to you and I said, hey, I just want to warn you, look out. How would you react? I think you would ask me the question, why? And so I sit down with you and explain everything, and therefore, if you believed my message, you would understand why I said, look out. But now let's imagine, just out of the blue, I shouted to you, look out. How do you react? You may quickly duck for cover. You may quickly look around. You react to my message. You believed what I said to you, even though you may not have fully understood why I said, look out. It is in this sense that Mary believed God's message. She doesn't fully understand it. That's why she asked the question, how will this be since I am a virgin? It is biologically impossible for a virgin to become pregnant. It goes beyond all logic and reasoning and comprehension. But when the angel said to Mary, nothing is impossible with God, Mary believed God's message, even though she did not fully understand it. What a great example of faith for us to follow. For when you think about it, everything that we believe about God and what He has done and does do for us makes absolutely no sense. It goes beyond our logic and our reasoning. Think of God's essence, that He is triune. One God and yet three persons, for there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and yet we don't worship three gods, but one God. Nothing in this world exists in that way, and yet we believe it. God the Father created everything in the universe, things that are seen and unseen, in 6 days. Yet this goes against the logic of science that says this all happened by chance and it took millions and billions of years. It doesn't make any sense, but this is what we believe. God the Son came as the one redeemer of all mankind. And yet how is it possible that one individual can do that? Well, He can do it because He's true God and true man. Yet how can He possibly be 100% God and 100% man? It makes no sense. And yet we believe. God the Holy Spirit makes us holy by bringing us to faith and freely offering this gift of God's grace. And yet the reasoning of our sinful nature says we have to do something to save ourselves. I have to make myself worthy of God's salvation. But that's not what Scripture says, but it goes against our logic. And God gives us this grace through His sacraments. Yet how is it possible that the waters of baptism can take an infant child and make that child a believer? How is it possible that the bread and wine, the sacrament of Holy Communion, are connected with Christ's true body and blood, and that partaking in the sacrament, we receive the forgiveness of our sins? It doesn't make any sense. But this is what God says. Therefore, let us not listen to the reasoning of Satan. Let us not listen to the understanding of the world. Let us not listen to how we think things should be. But like Mary, let us believe God's message, even though we may not fully understand it. And there's one final reason why Mary is a great example of faith. Later on, Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name." Notice to whom Mary directs her praise. She doesn't praise herself. She doesn't praise of the things that she has done. She doesn't praise how worthy she is to receive this from God. She directs her praise to God Himself. She praises God that that son that she would give birth to would become her Savior from sin. Mary praises God that God took her from a lowly, humble state, and now all generations will call her blessed because she gave birth to the Savior. She praises God, for he is holy and had done great things for her. What a great example of faith for us to follow. Because to whom shall we direct our praise? We don't praise ourselves. We don't praise what we have done. We don't praise how worthy we are before God. We direct our praise to God himself. We also praise God because that same son that Mary gave birth to and was her Savior is also our Savior from our sins. We praise God that he takes us from a lowly, humble state and he exalts us. He lifts us up and he praises us. We praise God because he is holy and he has done great things for us. Just think of all the blessings that God has given you and does give you. You could look up at the stars at night and try to count them all, and they would pale in comparison to the blessings that God has given. Think of the great joy that God has given to you. That even when it felt like nothing could make you smile or laugh again, he brought you that joy. Think of how many times God was there to help you, that he held you in his arm to lead you, to guide you, to encourage you, and to comfort you in every way. This is who our God is. This is what he has done for us, and this is what he does do for us. Therefore, we join with Mary in praising God. And so, my brothers and sisters in Christ, when it comes to the topic of the Virgin Mary, do not be hesitant to talk about it. For Scripture talks about Mary's faith, and let us follow that example of Mary's faith. She carried her burden willingly, and we too carry our burdens willingly, for Christ carried our burdens for us willingly. Mary believed God's message, even though she did not fully understand it. And therefore, we believe what God tells us, even though we may not comprehend it. And like Mary, we praise our God for who he is and what he has done. This is the great faith that Mary had. So let us follow in that faith, a faith that God delights in and is pleased in. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Nicene Creed, which you will find on page 31 in front of your hymnal. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten from the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.